Hey everybody, this is Dan Lobby.
And this is Mary Kay Cabot.
And this is our Orange and Brown Talk podcast, sponsored by Sibling Revelry Brewing. They have been a sponsor for us for pretty much all of this season so far, and you can head over to their tap room in Westlake and check them out, and head over to their website as well and check out some of their upcoming events and tastings. So thanks to them for sponsoring us. Mary Kay, the Browns 26-23 losers in overtime in Tampa against the Buccaneers. And this loss is, this is probably one of the toughest losses for this team in a series of tough losses this year, because instead of sitting at 500, maybe salvaging something before you head into this really difficult stretch, you lost this game, you're 2-4-1, and things have the potential maybe to start coming apart a little bit.
Yeah, you know what, they've got a tough stretch coming up with going on the road, or staying on the road, I should say, and going to Pittsburgh next, and then coming home and facing the Kansas City Chiefs. This was a game they really needed to win, and they almost did win it, if not for a 59-yard field goal by the Tampa Bay Bucs, a guy who had missed a 40-yarder and an extra point earlier in the game. They should have won this game. They had four defensive takeaways, including an interception by Jamie Collins. In the overtime period, the defense just kept coming up and coming back and giving the offense the ball back, and they just couldn't do enough with it. I mean, it is getting kind of ridiculous, and you know, we'll really get into this, but you know, Hugh Jackson afterwards let it be known that he is not going to stand for this offensive performance anymore. He's done. He's going to dive in. He's going to do whatever it takes for him to fix this offense. And he did not rule out taking the play calling back from Todd Haley.
It's going to be interesting to see what he does. And really, to me, this game gets summed up by what happened in overtime. Your offense comes out, you start with the ball, you go 3-and-out. There was a penalty on the first play of overtime, a holding on Desmond Harrison, and that was a big part of this game as well. So then your defense comes back on the next series. They get an interception, so you get the ball back at the Bucs' 45-yard line. So that's potential to get into field goal range and win the football game. You go 3-and-out. And then your defense stops again, a 3-and-out. So Tampa punts. Jabril Peppers fields it, trying to make a play, fumbles the football. It goes back to Tampa Bay. You know, look, a 59-yard field goal to win this by that kicker who was having the day he was having is a little ridiculous. It surprised a lot of Browns players. It certainly surprised Demaryius Randle, who I talked to after the game. But the bottom line, you give a team enough chances and you don't take advantage of yours, they're going to do something crazy like hit a 59-yard field goal to win the game.
Yeah, absolutely 100%. And you cannot go 3-and-out on your two overtime possessions. I mean, they got the ball first. And yes, it does not help to get a holding call by Desmond Harrison on that very first play. It puts you, I don't know what the statistics are of trying to overcome holding calls on a drive, but I don't think they're very good. And, you know, so that's a horrible way to start when you have the ball first against this defense. I mean, this is a defense that, you know, that you can score on, that you can move against and make some yards on. And, you know, to start out that way is really unacceptable. But I'll tell you what, when I look at this offense, they just don't have what they need. They don't have the weapons that they need. And again, they're probably not using their weapons properly. I mean, they had 15 targets to Jarvis Landry. That's too much. He was so beat up after the game that he couldn't even use his left arm to put his shirt on. So hopefully he'll be okay. He said he would be okay for next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the next highest amount of targets went to tight end David Njoku. When you look at the receivers, okay, combined catches of the entire receiving corps was five. Five catches. That's Damian Ratley, 3. Antonio Callaway, 1. Breshad Perriman, 1. That is unacceptable. That's never, ever, ever going to cut it. I mean, what a great performance, though, by Jarvis. He really stepped up. You know, I had called for him to step up as a leader on and off the field, and he really did that. I thought he really, for the most part, left everything out there, made tough plays, went up high to catch a pass one time, and sacrificed his body to do that, but came down with the ball, caught the great touchdown, and it's just not enough. There are receivers to be had out there. Now, maybe none of them are very good, but they, you know, in terms of getting, you know, coming in here and actually making a huge impact at this at this point in the season. You know, maybe it's just not going to happen, but they have to try. They have to do something. They can't leave Baker Mayfield out there with not enough weapons around him. They can't do this to Jarvis. Something's got
to
give.
Yeah, so you were down 16-2 at halftime. The Browns had 74 yards of offense in the first half. This is a Tampa Bay defense that has given up 440 yards a game. And the Browns had 74 yards at halftime and scored 2 points. You know, you can't... You just can't win games like this. And the bottom line is you're going up against some bad defenses coming up. You know, Pittsburgh's not great. Kansas City's awful. Atlanta's awful defensively. But those are offenses that, as good as Tampa's offense is, we saw some of the inconsistencies. These other offenses, they're going to be able to take advantage of this offense struggling more than I think Tampa was, because Tampa helped Cleveland stay in this game, turn the ball over 4 times. Credit to this defense for using the turnover to stay in the game. But, you know, you got to face a guy like Patrick Mahomes coming up. You have to face Matt Ryan coming up. This offense is going to have to step up and help this defense out a little bit.
Yeah, and that's so true. Like you said, of the 4 defensive takeaways, they only managed points on 1 of them, okay? That's not enough. There is a statistic out there somewhere where they're, like, last in the league in converting takeaways. We'd have to find that for you. I don't have it off the top of my head. But the amount of points that they're getting off of takeaways is an embarrassment. And then what happens? Jabril Peppers fumbles on the punt return in overtime. He took full blame for this loss. He said it doesn't matter what happened before, during, or after. This game was about him fumbling on that punt return. And of course, nobody means to do it. He was trying to make a play, and you know, he returned it for 14 yards before having it stripped. And the Bucs went out and they converted. Now, it took a 59-yard field goal because the defense came up big after that. Once again, Myles Garrett had a 12-yard sack, and then Larry Ogunjobi and Ogba combined for a sack. You would think at that point, that they would have gotten the ball back and that the Browns would have another chance. But then they went on third down and gave up a 14-yard pass to DeSean Jackson, and that was just enough to get him in position for a 59-yard field goal attempt on 4th and 15. Nobody thought he was going to make that 59-yard field goal. I mean, that was unbelievable. And, you know, it's a very unfortunate way for the Browns to lose this game. And like you said, how are they going to keep pace with really good offenses with what they have? There are changes coming. I don't know if he's going to take the play calling over. I don't know if he's going to go that far. But if he doesn't go that far, and I don't know, I mean, where do you go from there after you say what he said after the game? I mean, do you not take it over after that? How else do you fix the offense and dive in with your feet and hands and everything else that you're diving in with if you're not taking over the play call?
I mean, that's a big step, right? And that's a step that kind of based on what we've kind of learned about Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, if you step in and take away that play calling, that really creates a lot of tension, I would think, in that building. It would be a huge, huge step for, I mean, there's no going back from that.
No.
And honestly, at that point, you wonder if you even keep Todd Haley, right?
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
would you, because if you were to take the play calling away from him, Why even keep him at that point? Why invite that tension?
Well, it's going to be very interesting. We asked him about the tension that could be created from this, and Hugh Jackson said, you know, this isn't about headbutting. I'm the head coach of this football team, and I'll do whatever it takes. I'm going to get involved in this offense. And I don't know, just the way he was talking to me, it just doesn't seem like, what are you going to do, stand there on the sideline and whisper things in his ear? I mean, that's not going to cut it. And ironically, this is happening at a time when they're heading into Pittsburgh, where Todd Haley was the offensive coordinator for the last 6 years. Then they're playing Kansas City, where he used to be the head coach. So the timing is a little ironic on some of this. But, you know, I can't, you know, I'm sitting here racking my brains to try to figure out, how do you take over or dive in and do all of these things that you're saying that you're going to do without calling the plays? I don't know how you do it. And so we'll have to see where this is going, because I don't know. I just think it could be a drastic move like that.
We're going to find out soon, obviously. I mean, we'll know before Wednesday when this team comes back to really start getting ready for the Steelers. We'll know what happens there. looking at some other things here, you know, obviously this is a team that has lost, has played four overtime games. You know, let's talk about the receiving core, actually. Let's go down that road.
Yep.
Because that's been a big area. You got into it a little bit. What can they do? Can you trade for a guy, or I don't know who you could sign. I mean, you've already signed the likes of Rashad Perriman. You know, Dez Bryant is out there. Obviously, nobody wants to sign Dez Bryant right now. Is there a realistic way for this team to boost its receiving core outside of Rashard Higgins getting healthy that could actually help them?
You know what? I don't know, but I think that John Dorsey really has to look into it and work the phones. We saw a report before the game that the Broncos were willing to trade Demaryius Thomas, so you got to look into that. You got to look into Amari Cooper from Oakland. You should look into Devontae Parker from the Dolphins. There's other guys like that out there that, you know, I don't even know who could possibly be available. But they have to find somebody or a couple people that are somewhat significant. The minute they traded Josh Gordon, the caliber of this wide receiving core went way, way down. And they just don't have that number one guy. And, you know, I mean, like you said, they brought in Rashard Perriman. But if he was the answer, and maybe he'll get better down the road, you know, then why would the Ravens have given up on him? And why would the Washington Redskins have cut him 4 days after they brought him in? So I don't know if he's the answer or not. Things should get a little bit better when Rashard Higgins gets back. And, you know, we end up talking about, you know, Rashard like he's like they lost their four-time Pro Bowl receiver or something like that. But he was solid and he was consistent. And he was a really good target for Baker Mayfield. So help will be on the way when he comes back. But I don't even think that's enough. I mean, again, it will help a lot to have him out there. But they need to add another guy or two somehow.
Yeah, and, you know, you could look at it and say, well, you know, this team's not going to make the playoffs. This team's not going to, you know, win a bunch of games. So why bother giving up some sort of draft asset to get a receiver or something like that? But honestly, you got to do it to help your rookie quarterback. You know, that's part of the long-term thinking, too. Even if you gave up, you know, again, I wouldn't give up a ton for Amari Cooper. I don't know what a guy like Demaryius Thomas would cost. But even if you had to give up some kind of asset to get a receiver that can just help your rookie quarterback, that would be huge. You've got to do that. You've got to help this guy in his development.
Well, you know, here are some mistakes that they made heading into the season. Mistake number one, to think that you could count on Josh Gordon, okay? You can't. You cannot put all your eggs in Josh Gordon's basket when you're heading into a season. They already knew that Corey Coleman wasn't going to be very good, okay? That showed up in the last couple of years. Then, to think that Antonio Callaway could step in and be the answer to Josh Gordon once he was gone, that was an overestimation of his ability and his ability to actually, from a maturity standpoint and everything else, to handle that job. I mean, he had one catch today. One catch. It's just the whole receiving core. Do you remember back when Josh Gordon declared it the best receiving core in the NFL? I mean, it's gone so far south since then, it's not even funny.
Yeah, so they've got to get that figured out, obviously. You know, we'll see what they do. We'll see how aggressive they want to be as the trade deadline approaches. You know, defensively, it was good to see them bounce back like they did and force the four turnovers, even though they did give up a ton of yardage. But, you know, after this game, got to be a little nervous. You should have been nervous to begin with. You got to be a little more nervous now going to Pittsburgh, playing Kansas City, playing Atlanta. And you just hate to already talk about, well, maybe your season is lost this early on. When, you know, I know the players were talking playoffs and things like that. I don't think anyone realistically expected that outside of that locker room. But I think you expected this team to be able to play well through November, maybe get into December and make things a little interesting. And right now there's a chance that this season could start to spiral.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate for Browns fans and for the Browns themselves because things did look so promising. Things were going very well. And again, you know, four overtime games, the NFL record is five. So obviously they could have won a significant more amount of games than they have. And you hate to see it get away from you like that because then, you know, who knows what happens at that point, and things just start to get ugly. Nobody likes that. So They do have to make some changes coming up.
One more thing. Obviously, officiating has been a big topic over this past week.
Yeah.
The Baker Mayfield hit.
Right.
Was as strange a flag pickup as I've seen, especially in this era where, you know, they're trying to protect quarterbacks. They're trying to make sure that these guys don't lose games to injury. These guys can stay on the field. When I saw it in real time, I was shocked they picked up the flag. When I saw replays of it on Twitter, I was even more shocked that they picked up the flag. What did you think?
Yeah, yes. Very, very shocked, especially because he was into his slide. That makes him, you know, he's giving himself up there, okay? He's giving himself up. He doesn't need to get hit helmet to helmet. It's a double standard, and the Browns have a really good point here. I just think that was a very bad call. And they were so mad about it afterwards, and I will have something from Jarvis Landry really complaining about that. And look, they got 14 penalties in this game. They were, in addition to some of the bad calls that they take, they're very undisciplined. Those penalties, they took 114 yards off the field from penalties. 114 yards. I mean, you can't do that. That's the difference in winning and losing right there. In a game this tight, that's part of the difference.
So the Browns lose in overtime again, 26-23 in Tampa. It is incredible how over the last few years this team has just found all sorts of new ways to lose football games. And it is starting to feel like things are going that way, Mary Kay. It's starting to feel like it's turning a little bit. And we'll see what happens if this team can't get their season turned around. It seems like we might be going down a road that I think a lot of people expected before the season started.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And, you know, stay tuned this week because it's going to get really, really interesting to see what happens with this offense.
All right, that'll do it for Orange Brown Talk, sponsored by Sibling Revelry Brewing. Thanks to them. Thanks to Mary Kay. And thanks to all of you for listening.